Time zones. Music or weapon. Four monologues from Ukraine. Directed and produced by Dmytro Fedorenko.
My name is Katerina Peskova, aka Burning Woman. I'm a musician from Kiev, Ukraine, originally from Donetsk. I had some difficulties composing new music since the war started, and I hear that a lot from my fellow musicians, from my friends. And I'm really trying to get back to this, to my musical practice. But I take these baby steps, so it's really slow, but I'm kind of getting back to it. You know, I see what weapons that foreign countries give us, and I see how they like benefit us, how they changing the situation. And I think music can't do that, actually. Music can't win the war, unfortunately. But still, I think it's very important for all the Ukrainian and even not Ukrainian artists to, you know, speak about it, about what's going on, because the awareness that people have from outside Ukraine, it's really important that they have the awareness of what is going on, because in my experience, I noticed that the perception of war really differs depending on how far you are physically from it. And so it's still very important to tell people about what's happening, tell them the truth, so that they don't forget it when, you know, just some news just get out from the informational field. And so it's important to talk about it. I think actually what everything that we do, like everything that Ukrainians do, no matter what, it's bringing us closer to win. And if someone is ready to speak up, it's even better. But I don't think that people should be pushed to it. I've seen it like in 2014 and 2015, like when the war just started, and many artists have felt obligated to express some political opinions of their own, even maybe then they're not even so like famous or publicly known. But if you keep silent, people start questioning what side you're on or something like that. So I think it's important for an artist to speak up, but I really don't like when it's pushed, when it's something under pressure, you know. And I think the more famous the artist is, obviously the more impact, influence on audience he or she has. So it can play a big role making people aware. Basically, my life hasn't changed that much at first glance after the war started. But if you dig a little deeper, everything has changed, including my feeling of being free, you know, of being secure, safe. And it's all in the air here, actually. Even though here now seems like a normal place to live, you know, sometimes it really seems that nothing is going on except for the air raid sirens. But you can feel this tension in the air. And me personally, I've noticed that I lost this ability to picture my future, picture myself in the future, you know, to dream about the future. And it's really frustrating sometimes. It's really frustrating because sometimes everything just loses meaning, sense. I can't say that I'm 100% free right now. I feel like I'm under pressure, but I really hope that this will end soon and things will get better. Well, yeah, I changed. I think I changed a lot, and I think I'm just getting through this transformation still. At first, you know, in February, March, we all have this burst of adrenaline. We all like wanted to kick their asses, and yeah, we were like so charged with all this anger, and it really calm down all the other feelings of like frustration and insecurity for some time. But then it all came back, and I had like a full-fledged episode of depression, and I think a lot of people will have some will feel some psychological impact of this war. So it's quite a difficult time psychologically, but I still hope for the best, surely. I think it's very important that we don't lose hope, because once we lose it, well, the Russians gonna win. No, I can say that I'm afraid, because, first of all, it's crazy to what people can adapt, actually. And, you know, no one even goes to the shelter now when... Yeah, I'm not afraid. I'm pretty sure that we will win. And sure, it will be not an easy task, but I think we're just going to live through it and be patient and be supportive of each other. And this is what will help us overcome this feeling. I just want to thank to everyone who's supporting Ukraine, actually, because it really matters a lot. And I think we couldn't do that without all the support from the rest of the world. And this is really important that people continue doing this any way they can.
My real name is Gosha Georgi Podopalsky. I'm an artist living in Ukraine since 2006. My artist's name, Yudzhik, not found. These 5 months, it's getting worse and worse for me, as for me. These 5 months, we have a war. Real war, real massacre. When I see blood and dead bodies every day in news, when my friends goes to the war, and some days I got a news about death of my friends. I'm trying to do the best I can to support, of course, my friends on the war, and I'm trying to make art, but it's a really hard time for the art, for me, personally for me. But I still can stop doing some things like to make music or to make visual or to learn something new. In the beginning of the war, of course, the idea to make music disappear completely, immediately. But weeks after, when the danger goes out, you start to realize that actually you can live in this situation with sirens, with every time watching all this news. And I tried to make some music. And the problem was with my studio, because the studio was in government building, and inside was a lot of soldiers, and I can't enter this place, and I can't even say where it was, like this, because it's a secret and so on. So I just one day I got all my stuff from the studio at my home. And my building was absolutely empty because all neighbors are gone. I was almost alone in the building, so I started to play some music. And it helps when you start to play music. You for this time when you are playing, when you are trying to build something in the sound, you forget about everything what goes on around. And actually, I think it's a good idea to make some music this time. Music can be a weapon. I know some examples when the music is the weapon, and actually the music is just a part of the media. So the whole media would be its very strong weapon, as for me. And of course it's the weapon. For me, it's every time was this balance between to be the abstract artist of the sense of something that goes outside the border of understanding the world, and on the other side to be in the social life with all this injustice from, yeah, to work with this injustice in the world, about crossing the borders of personal freedom and so on. I'm free inside, and I'm absolutely not free like a social person. No, I mean, I'm changing every time, but the war actually doesn't change anything. Maybe I start to be more radical. I ask myself, is it okay if I will do some things which shows exactly what is going on around me? It means that every time I was some kind of an abstract vision of and sound about everything which going on in the world, but now I realize that I start do very straight things, using very straight points, pointing on something. What is going on now? What is going on now? It's hard to think about the future because it's all about myself and my situation and what will going on tomorrow with me and my family, and globally what is going on like 10 years forward with the whole world. Sometimes I switch, and yes, maybe I think, but it's hard for me to think forward. Actually, I can say that now I'm living like today. I'm thinking about what is going on now, what I will do today. I'm afraid occupation. I don't afraid something like rockets that can blow my house with me. But I don't want to see this Russian terrorist around in this country. The big fear for me that I don't feel the border against this nation anymore. I need to feel it like, you know, like concrete border which they can't cross at all. And I am afraid this assimilation between this, if I can call it a Russian national, so I'm afraid of assimilation with this part of the world. I'm afraid that we could lost a lot of good people inside our country, inside the Ukrainian people. I mean, lost them not only physically, but also and lost their feeling of being free, real free Ukrainians. I feel now that some people just, you know, lost themselves. I feel like the part of nation just disappear. So my statement, come back.
I'm Vitaly Semenenko, a musician from Kyiv, originally born and raised in Luhansk, which is now occupied by Russians. In this February, Russians started full-scale war against us. So, and first 2 days I was shocked and didn't know what to do and so on, like it happened to many of us. But then I started releasing music, and maybe the first months of war was extremely productive for me. So I released about 10 war tracks, and now this period for me sounds like silence, maybe. I still feel in this situation when I have to be aware of everything, you know, like it's the constant warning state, like constant warning mode. So this is my main now thing to work on, as to play for dancers, play for people who are really fed up with being scared and who really want to let them go. So this is the thing I'm working with now. Music is weapon. In my case, it's so. No, I don't have to choose, because for me it's obvious if I'm called to join those forces and so on. Of course, I will be happy to. I still never killed human and so on. But now I think that everybody in Ukraine is ready to kill. And it would be a really glorious, happy moment to make a contribution into this huge process as to help Ukraine win. So I think that it won't be a problem at all. There are two types of artists. One of artists are cowards, as it's obvious, they keep silent, even though they have so much communications with us, they are connected with us and been playing here for many years, every weekend and so on. And now they're keeping silent. So this is the covert way of the artist. And I think these people shouldn't be counted on in future. And one more way is to be brave, at least as to tell the things which they are, I guess. So for us, it is needed that artists have to speak, so we should use our power, because it is like the typical example of soft power, so we should use it. And bravery is not only taking weapons in case when you need it, it is also speaking loud and doing it each time it is needed. And now it is needed like 24/7, you know. So this is the way now. Like 50% of energy should be spent on creating music. 50% should be spent on telling the world of Ukraine. In some understanding, I'm absolutely free because I have a passport of the best country in the world. I also choose for doing things only those things I really like. I don't do things I hate or I suffer from. So I think it deals with happiness. So I can say I'm a happy person now. I don't know how much time I'm still left here to work in my studio and so on. This is why I'm trying to spend each free moment, like to work on my modular, on my understanding and so on. First of all, I understood that I don't have much and they can work with it. Even a laptop and the controller is enough. So the war gave me the understanding that I don't need much at all. So one pair of shoes, one pair of jeans, one hoodie, one computer, that's enough. A pair of headphones. So yeah, when we escaped to Lviv from Kyiv, the second day of war, I guess, or the third day, so I had a choice what to take with me. And I chose less clothes, but more gear. So I took my friend's gear, who left it to me before he left Ukraine. As he was afraid of looters, he said, maybe if war starts, they will come to my place and steal my synthesizers, take it. So I took his synthesizers.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm thinking of our bright future, of course, because if being sad and pessimistic about it, it won't give you possibility to live a good present. So my future is the scene which shapes my present, actually. We can die here at any moment, actually, due to all these rockets. This has become kind of some gambling, you know? So, yeah. So no fear anymore. There are really many thoughts in my head now and each day. So maybe the main message is to value little, but in a good way organized things. So you should choose one weapon. There should be at least one weapon of choice, but it should be known perfectly.
My name is Yuri Olivets, and I am from Dnipro, Ukraine. It's a real war here in Ukraine. Everyone here trying to defend our country in the ways that we can. As a musician, I try to collect money for our army. If you say about the psychological factor, it's very hard to create something, some art now, because all my thoughts was about our lives, about my friends, about people who were bombed in cities in Ukraine. But then I understood that I can make something from by myself to help my friends who to help people in Ukraine to fight in this war. Because I think that art now can help us. I don't think I can take a gun and kill people. I haven't any experience with guns, with army, so it's hard to me, but I think that with my art I can support my country much more. So yes, I'm an artist. Maybe if I can say that something like military artist with military art, something like this. I think everyone here in Ukraine now who support our country's art is military artist. Everyone should understand what he can do best: take a weapon or make an art. So I think that weapon and art and music, in my case, are two hands of my soul now. So music and weapon, because I don't think it's something that one is refuge another. So we can do music and we can take guns and weapon and go to war. For me, today art can be that thing that can put an eye of any person on various problems. So I think art is a huge weapon, really, in the world now. In the right mouth, in the right hands, in the right mind, art can be a huge weapon. Freedom is very big. I felt freedom till 24th of February. I can't feel free today because of Russia. You know, for these few months, the only changes that I feel is now I can't think about philosophy a lot. Maybe this is the main changes in my mind now, because I can't think about something abstract, about something philosophical. The only thing that I can think now is this war, how to help our people with this in this war, how to cancel Russia, how to end this war. And the main change is that all my mind now is full with this war. And the main change maybe is that I became a military artist. I think that we will win.
Time Souls.
Music or Weapon, four monologues from Ukraine. Featuring Burning Woman, Simonenko, Yujif Not Found, and Igor Yalivet. Directed and produced by Dmytro Fedorenko. Co-produced by Norient and Goethe Institute.
You're listening to Time Zones, a project co-produced by Norient and the Goethe Institute. I'm Peter Kern. I'm a musician and journalist living in Berlin. For this bonus episode on Ukraine, we hear from the producer of the series and an independent media artist from Odessa. Both of them live and work outside the country, and they spoke to me about how that shaped their experience this year and where it might lead next.
I'm Dmytro Fedorenko, a Ukrainian artist, and I was asked to make this podcast with another Ukrainian artist about the situation in Ukraine at the moment. In this moment, I thought that this podcast will be more emotional than informative, because people who are asked, they are in Ukraine and they are in bomb shelters and they are living there. So I thought I want to bring questions which would bring some emotional answers rather than deep intellectual thinking, because also they're artists, so I'm sure I knew that their answers will be unknown for me. I didn't know who will answer, and also I tried to choose artists who I know have a bit different background and maybe some views on life. That also was interesting, because with abstract questions you have open end. I felt that they all wanted to speak. They want to speak, and they constantly want to be heard. And this is important for artists, and not only for artists in Ukraine, that people in Europe or in USA and Canada, that they want to hear Ukrainians. Not just decide for Ukrainians, but exactly to listen what Ukrainians thinking, what Ukrainians, how Ukrainians perceiving this situation. And they all really want to talk.
My name is Sofia Bulgakova, and I'm a media artist, art scientist, and activist now, based in The Hague in the Netherlands, and I'm from Odessa in Ukraine. I don't live in Ukraine for the last 8 years. I moved out when I was actually 16, just after the high school. So I did my education, a higher education in Europe. My family moved on 25th of February to Berlin. So my mom and my stepdad, they keep me updated a lot, and friends who are there. So in the beginning, I was following everything from every single source, especially Telegram, on all the channels. Specifically, I'm from Odessa, but I grew up in Kiev. So Odessa and Kiev are my two hotspots, which I follow very precisely. And then in the very beginning, it was I followed everything that's happening and having a heart attack every time. Then it went from just major events, and then in process it went to specifically these two regions. So I kind of monitor everything in Telegram, but I kind of specifically focus on like if everybody's fine, everybody's alive, everything's okay. For first 3 months, I had notifications of every single air raid, so all the air alarms, or everything. I had it on my phone. I had notifications. And then I just couldn't do it anymore. I had to turn it off. So that was a big step. I felt super guilty, but I was like, I have to do it. I cannot do this anymore.
Since February, especially first maybe 2 months of this full-scale invasion, I had almost every second day conversations, which were really not easy. But I learned how to reach. I learned how to control emotions sometimes. I learned how to formulate things. Because European, especially Western European people, they are very scary when you speak out about something very directly. It comes to Germans, they are direct, but they are really scared of direct communication at the same time. Not only Germans, but many. So it takes time and it takes a lot of energy. It's never easy. Sometimes, but it gets easier with time when I learn. First month was hard because it felt that I was scared that everybody will forget. But then somehow I realized that it's a marathon distance and I have to learn how to save my energy and how to be efficient every day, because at some point I understood that it will be a long run.
When it all started, it was great. It was so much support. Everybody was fired up by it, art community, and I got sent by heads of institutions, letter. I'm based in the Netherlands, again. Minister of Culture in the Netherlands released a specific letter to everybody, to all the institutions, that they forbid to cooperate and collaborate with Russian institutions. It does not go to Russian individual artists, but it goes to Russian institutions, which is especially government-sponsored. And everybody were like, yes, no, we are not going to do it. And still everybody works with Russian artists, which is, I find, problematic. Everybody still somehow finds a way to work with Russian institutions. Nothing changed. For example, there is a Stedelijk show right now of Anna Imhoff, which just opened. The work was produced in Moscow in February, before the war. It was commissioned by Garage, which is sponsored by Abramovich, and now it's in Stedelijk. It's still even tagged that it's sponsored by them. How can you do this? Why do you do this? Why are you still keeping ties with Russian institutions? Why a lot of organizations still work with Russian artists who directly are sponsored by Russian institutions, or the works are commissioned by them? Nothing much changed. Everybody's still booked to do music gigs or performances together with Russians in the same lineup. Yeah, that happens a lot, also in the debates and discussions. It's always kind of this two sides talking about it. Or a lot of happens then. There's a Ukrainian-themed event or Ukrainian-themed talk. And, of course, there's somebody from Russia present and nobody's announcing it beforehand. It happened a couple of times. Or my favorite type of Ukrainian-based events are the ones where no Ukrainians. They're all European peoples talking about Ukraine without anybody present. That's my favorite type.
I never had situations when I, during this last 9 months, when I converted someone's opinion. I felt more that in some cases I can add 1%, 5%, change a little bit. But I never felt, in these hard conversations, I never felt that I won the conversation and that I delivered the message and it was heard completely.
I think it's a bigger question how it's going to work long term. Because I don't think anybody can think long term because nobody knows what's going to happen and how long it's going to last. In people, a lot of artists who are in Europe also are very puzzled of how long they're going to have to stay here and how, for how long they will need to adapt to current situation or to current structures of support and when they can come back and actually do something back home. But it's definitely beneficial and important to give platform to these people. It's like what you focus on. It's like if you have budget to produce art or commission artists, it's very good to give it to people who actually don't have any access to any other help. And I think it's important to really support all the initiatives which are happening within the country and which are still trying to survive and still do things, because there's a lot of people who cannot leave, who have no means to leave. And I think it's really important to support them and allocate specific funding or specific programs to support specifically not people who manage to leave, but also people who continue doing something for the people and communities within the country. And I think that's especially important if we're talking about this kind of difficult winter and we're not sure. Also now with power outages, when you kind of totally disconnected. I have a thing where I never made political works. I work a lot with senses and yourself and your psychology, your perceptual psychology, and understanding your environment and your bodies. It was always my focus and my interest. And it kind of seems very pointless right now. Because you can start with yourself, and I still believe in this, but it's kind of a very long process and not so reactionary. I do research on Ukrainian paganism and how pre-Christian traditions and everything surrounds this kind of are the seeds or the starting of Ukrainian identity and culture community, and how through oppression it still exists in contemporary Ukrainian culture, and how it's important and how we can revive certain aspects using modern technology and revive them to support contemporary community and identity. So now I'm working on a virtual reality piece, which is a communal ritual based on Ukrainian traditions. And I try to work with a lot of Ukrainian developers for virtual reality and musicians and folklorists and people who do research on the same topic. For the rest, I try to implement all my sign making and protest going into artworks, which is getting lots of trolling on lots of social media, but I'm trying to see how it can be part of the work. But it, I think this kind of point of identity and kind of understanding my identity, understanding the how, what can we do to revive this pre-oppression, pre-Russian Empire, pre-Soviet traditions, which specifically surrounds Ukraine and Ukrainian regions. In particular, how we can revive them and look at them differently right now, and why is it so important? And to do it through immersive media, to do it through virtual reality, to do it through embodied things, through performances, and through community gatherings.
I think Western people, many of them, still not aware that this is, it touches them, their lives much more than they think. And it's kind of not my business, because when the bad things comes to their houses, and most likely it will, they will be surprised. But it's their problem, so to say. The prognoses are not so shiny for the future of at least our continent. And it's not only about Ukraine. At least for 1 second, try to ask someone to wake up and try to... Your comfort zone is really fragile. And your comfort zone may disappear within a second.
Thanks so much to Sophia and Dimitro for talking to us. For more insights from artists living and working inside Ukraine, you can listen to the rest of this Time Zone series. I'm Peter Kern. I produce this episode in Berlin for series co-producers Norient and the Goethe Institute.
Time Zones. Bonus Talk.